Welcome to the podcast of the preaching ministry of Life Point Church. We pray this ministry is a blessing for your life. For more information about Life Point, please visit lifepointozark.com.
All right. Well, I'd like to invite the elders of Life Point to join me up here on the platform this morning. We're going to do something a little different. We've been in Matthew's gospel, and we've been going most recently through chapter 6, when Jesus is teaching us how to live as disciples for an audience of one. In other words, he's teaching us how to have a faith that is meaningful in your life, not just a performance, not just a religious practice, but something that actually is impactful in your life and in the lives of those around you. And we've been looking at that in Matthew chapter 6. Last week, we saw that Jesus taught us to live as a disciple of Christ for an audience of one. We need to do things like give when no one is applauding, and pray when no one is watching, and fast when no one is impressed. And Jesus is saying, as you follow him, everybody's going to be seeing how you live as a disciple of Jesus, but we need to be the same person when people are watching as we are when no one is watching. And that's how you know that your faith is not just a religious performance, but it's actually something real in your life. When you pray, when no one sees you pray, and give when no one sees you give, and fast when no one sees you fast. And we were looking at that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 21, but last week we skipped over a part of that passage. It's actually in the very center of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the peak, the pinnacle, the summit of human existence. It comes right from the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. It's the Lord's Prayer. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the Lord's Prayer is probably one of the most famous passages of Scripture ever in the world. And it is the very center of the Sermon on the Mount. And it is, I believe, the very basic meaning of life. What does it mean to live as a disciple of Jesus? What does it mean to be a human being? It's this. It's the first line of the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. The meaning of life is to know God as your Father. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus taught us that in the context of a prayer, because prayer is necessary to know God. You cannot know God without prayer. Now, you can read your Bible and know a lot about God, but you cannot know God without prayer. Prayer is the meaning of life. Coming to God as our Father, knowing God as our Father, is what it means to be a person, a human being, a disciple of Jesus. And a few months ago, when we did a series on prayer, I preached through the Lord's Prayer. So what I thought would be helpful and interesting this morning is to invite the elders of Life Point Church up and to share wisdom a little bit about prayer and what they've learned through their lives of following Jesus about praying. So let's start just by kind of going down the line. Introduce yourself. Tell us how long you've been an elder. My name's Andy. I've been an elder less than a year.
My name is John Goings. I've been an elder for about 15 years, serving in that role here at Life Point Church. Me and my wife met here. We've been here since pretty much the beginning of the church.
My name is Dallas Gillian, and similar to John, I've been an elder for about 15 years. We came onto the council at the same time, and my wife, Heather, and I have been part of the church since the beginning as well.
My name is Chuck Penland, and my wife, Joyce, and I became members of Life Point in about 2014, 2015, somewhere in that area, and I've been an elder for 2 years now.
My name is Bryce Stewilde. I've been an elder for 2 years as well. I came on the same time as Chuck and Caleb. My wife, Kayla, and I have been here since 2014 as well, same time as you.
My name is Caleb Smythe. My wife, family, and I started coming here back in 2018, and I've been an elder, like Bryce said, about 2 years.
My name is Al Webb. My wife Kelly and I have been here from the beginning of the church plant, and I've probably been an elder for about 18 years.
All right. Thanks, guys. So the Lord's Prayer, Jesus was using that to teach his disciples how to pray. How did you guys learn how to pray? Who taught you?
I largely learned by osmosis. I grew up in a Christian household, so I just did what my parents did and what I heard at church.
I thought you were going to say your chemistry teacher taught you to pray.
Yeah, I grew up in a Christian family going to church, and I think probably at a foundational level, that's kind of where I learned how to pray, the examples of those around me. And then as I grew in my faith and you grow in your understanding of Scripture, you begin to grow in that. And I would say, too, life, at least the basic level, it teaches us how to pray, if you will. You know, the Bible says eternity is set in the hearts of men. Even people that don't profess to believe in God, a circumstance will teach them to pray, maybe not how to pray scripturally. So I do think as we go through life, as we go through our relationship with the Lord, the highs and lows, the ups and downs, the peaks and the valleys, God is gracious and faithful even in that as we follow him to continue to teach us how to pray and how to relate to him. So I would say kind of growing up in the church and also on the job experience, if you will.
I would say likewise. I was so benefited by having a Christian home that I grew up in. And again, Dallas, I think it's not so much someone teaching us how to pray, it's teaching us to pray. And for the disciples who walked with Jesus, they saw this in him. He was an example where he, and we don't understand how he came to earth fully as God, fully as man, but he needed that total communion with his Father. And I watched my parents, they were a part of what was known as the greatest generation. And they lived through two world wars. They lived through the Great Depression. They struggled somewhat financially. They weren't the most educated people that I knew. But yet I saw them go to the Lord, not out of desperation or anxiety, but just with a faith and confidence in God.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he didn't write a theology paper. He prayed. When you pray, here's an example. It's caught as much as it is taught. So looking at the Lord's Prayer, is there any part of the Lord's Prayer that particularly encourages or inspires or challenges you?
I think for me, it's the way the prayer starts. It really puts in my mind and my heart how I need to approach the Lord, come before his throne, and just how awesome and great he is. And it just sets my heart into an attitude of praise and worship of the Lord.
For me, it's the middle or the second part that's in there. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's a very encouraging piece to me, because as I come to the Lord in prayer, there's all kinds of things that I'm praying for, whether it's for my spouse or for my kids or for things in life that I want to go a different way. I have all these plans and all these thoughts of, like, if Bryce were God, this is what I would want to do. And that section of it often reminds me that I'm not the one that's in control. I'm not the one that has the plan. I don't know how all these things work together. And so reading that and praying through that and reminding myself that as I pray and as I bring my requests to the Lord, like, he is God and he is in control. And he will work out things as he sees fit. And I get to be part of that. And just coming alongside with that and submitting my desires, my hopes, and my dreams to what he has, because I know what he has is better. I may not always see that. I may not always feel that. But that's true. And that's what the Lord's Prayer teaches me in that. And that's, to be honest, is what's most encouraging, because I don't have to have it all figured out. I don't have to know all the answers. Which I wish I did, let me be honest. I wish I knew them all, but I don't, and that's what's encouraging to me.
I think for me, the challenging part of this particular these particular verses are the "forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." I know even as I pray this regularly and look to this scripture as a model of how to pray, I find myself going throughout my day holding people to a standard that I would not want to hold myself to. And it's in this prayer, in this particular section, where I have to remember the forgiveness that God has shown me through his son Jesus. And it's our role as followers of him to demonstrate that to other people. So when I feel like people have not met up to my own self-righteous expectation, I'm quick to remember the Lord's Prayer in this and like remember my need for grace, remember my need for his forgiveness, and demonstrate that to the world as best I can, as the Spirit leads and empowers me to do.
I think it's a reminder that our relationship with others impacts our relationship with the Lord too. We need to be in right relationship with one another in order to be in a good relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just thinking maybe a little bit on the practical side of things, how has this season of life, everybody, there's lots of different stages of life represented up here. In this current stage of life, what does prayer look like for you? And what are some of the biggest obstacles that you face in prayer?
It's my kids is my biggest obstacle. And I love them, and we can laugh, and it's a good joke. Throughout the week, on a normal work day, when I get up, I'll be up early before them, all of that, and that's when I spend my time with the Lord. But if there's times where I'm out of routine or it's on a weekend and I want to sleep in, it does not fail, regardless of the time that I wake up. As soon as I sit down in my chair, I have my coffee, and I crack open my Bible, one of my kids will come down the steps. Every time. Like, it's awesome. And it just reminds me two things. One, I need to be disciplined in that. If I want alone time, I need to get up and do that. But the other part is actually it's a cool blessing, because that allows me to sit there and to model to my kids, this is what quiet time looks like. You know, they're there. Do I read as much, or do I have as intimate prayer time when they're sitting in the chair next to me? No, but I get to model that with them. And so that's a really sweet time as well, is for them to see the importance of that and to come alongside that. Sometimes they sit with me, sometimes they go off and play because they're 5 and 8 and they want to do that instead of sit with dad. But oftentimes my kids, which are a huge blessing, can be a big distraction to that way. And so just being disciplined in that and setting aside that time to be intentional with God, much like I'm intentional with my wife, as kids can be a distraction at times to your marriage and growing that, my relationship with the Lord is the same way.
Well, I'm at the opposite end of the spectrum. I no longer have kids running around the house to distract me, but there are many other things that can distract me. I'm much like the disciples who Jesus asked to go with him in the garden to pray. And I do my best sleeping when I sit down to pray. And I do my best praying when I can't sleep at night. So somehow the Lord works in my life to make time for that, although it's not often as intentional as it should be. I think being a retired person, sometimes you get lulled into complacency or deceived in that, oh, I have plenty of time on my hands. We don't have to follow that scripture that says, make the best use of your time that God has given you. And so sometimes that is a hindrance. And I really look at my prayer life in three different ways. It's my waking up prayers, and that's when I oftentimes wake at night and God lays upon my heart, first of all, people I need to pray for, thanksgivings that he gives to me. The second area of prayer is my walking around prayers. And I think that he's laid it upon my heart just to, when I encounter someone or when I encounter a temptation in life, just to give those over to the Lord and let him take care of them. And then the hardest part of my prayer life is the working prayers. And that's in difficult seasons of life where you just really have to take time to sit down and surrender that time to God. And then I just let the Holy Spirit work through me in that. But those are some of the challenges that I face.
That sounds like a sermon. It's 3 points, and they even all start with W.
Yeah. Yeah, Andy, you can use that.
I might. Yeah. Waking up, prayers, walking prayers, and working prayers. I like that. That's good. That's gold. How has your prayer life changed over the years as you followed Jesus? Have you noticed, as you've grown as a disciple of Christ, how have you seen that reflected in your prayers?
So I remember a specific conversation I had with my mom when I was in college and knew everything. I was going through, it was a particularly turbulent time in our life just as a family. We had experienced some loss. My parents had separated, and I was walking into college trying to figure life out on my own. And we were having a heated discussion one afternoon, and she just said, "Well, I think you just need to pray about that." And I said, "Mom, that stuff doesn't work. I grew up in the church, and all of this turbulence and all of this uncertainty had just landed in my lap. And I was like, I've been praying for all the things that are happening to happen differently." And there was an incredible amount of arrogance and immaturity in my heart and in my spirit. And I remember, God still reminds me of that dumb comment that I made back then, because I used to come to the Lord as like, give me this, very selfishly in my prayers. Well, there's a need. You need to meet that because that's what you say you do. And man, I feel like I'm still learning this lesson 30 years later. Like, no, I need God, and I need to be praying and in communion with Him. Like, I need the air that I breathe. Like, I need the food that sustains me, all His provision. Prayer, and that's one of the things I love about this passage is Jesus assumes that we are going to pray, that it is as vital to our life as anything else. And through a lot of hard times over the years, through a lot of really great times and amazing times, God has slowly, I say has, is still teaching me to depend on Him, to come to Him, to make Him the priority of my life in prayer. And man, words fail me. I know I talk a lot, mentioned that in the first service, but it's hard to articulate how God can change a life over 30, 40 years.
I think as my knowledge of Scripture, kind of you study the Word, you're a disciple of Christ over years, and as you grow in your understanding of God's Word and who He is through God's Word, it impacts your prayer life. You find that coming out in your prayers. I mean, a great practice is to pray Scripture back to God, to allow that to influence your prayers and to guide your prayers. And I've definitely seen just an evolution and a growth in that, as well as with, you know, to piggyback on that, like just a growing appreciation for the Lord's Prayer in this passage. Depending on the translation, there's about 50-ish words in this prayer. And I've learned over time and been taught to not rush through it, but to take time and in conversation with God, spend time with each word. Our Father, spend time talking to God. He is our perfect Father. He provides for us. He cares for us. He teaches us. He protects us. We just sing the bridge of that first song, or that song that echoes that. And so even the smallest words, some translations say our Father who is. I mean, God is. He is real. He is living. He is active. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And spending each time, you know, time going through that. And I don't go through the whole prayer every time I pray, but I find myself working through that or picking certain sections. And then most all of the different types of prayers that we might pray in a given week or month are pretty much captured there in the Lord's Prayer. And so spending time in just, and not even, you don't have to get out your Greek lexicon, you don't have to translate, just talk to the Lord about each of those words and what they mean, or ask him to grow your meaning of that and give you a better understanding or appreciation of each of those. So I would say just Scripture, you know, the marriage between prayer and Scripture just continues to become stronger as I've gone through life.
And I think you mentioned songs and hymns are a good way, especially, obviously, you want them to be biblically based, but just like some of the songs we sang this morning are really great to pray back to the Lord and really help you with your verbalization.
And with that in mind, we at LifePoint, we've always tried to be very careful, very intentional to, in the songs we choose, that they do reflect Scripture in an accuracy. And absolutely, Al, I mean, those songs find their way in your heart and your mind on Monday and Thursday and Saturday and become prayers, you know, back to the Lord.
Do you guys ever find yourself, I mean, you've mentioned like Scripture, opening up Scripture and praying through Scripture. Do you ever find yourself, you know, opening up Spotify and playing a song or something and just sitting in at home and worshiping? And of course, if your kids are asleep, you got to do that quietly. But what are some of those tools or things that help you connect with God when you feel like maybe you don't know what to say or how to do that?
I would say, yeah, absolutely. I've learned, so prayer is about talking to God, but it's also about listening and receiving, right? Like, just like a relationship that you might have with a family member, a spouse, or a friend. And so I've learned that in my own times of worship, whether it is just go to the gym, I put worship music on, and I'm talking to the Lord while I'm doing that, or in these seats right here. I mean, we're all sitting this morning worshiping with the church. Those are consistently times that the Lord connects dots for me in my heart and in my mind of things I'm wrestling with, things I'm struggling with, questions I'm asking, needs I'm putting before the Lord. And so it is in the context in worship, obviously it's a lifestyle. It's a position of the heart, but singing is a very God-given expression of that. Not that I'm singing out loud in the gym. Some of you have been to the gym when I'm there and you know, I'm not singing out loud, but in your heart, letting those things echo and resonate. And I have found that those are more often the times that the Lord kind of speaks to my spirit as much as when I'm just, you know, quiet with my eyes closed and my head bowed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for me at times, sometimes it's not so much the tools that you use, but the tools you put away. Hmm. And, you know, the Scriptures tell us to be still and know that you are God. And Dallas mentioned this in the first service about praying windshield time. I was in sales. I spent a lot of time in the car. I would drive many miles a day. And I used to like to listen to talk radio. And I was continually filling my mind with kind of what other people thought. And sometimes, you know, you would get irritated at their views because you didn't agree with them. And I found some of the most peaceful times to be when I turned that radio off. And I would just, you know, meditate with God and think about his greatness and look at the creation around me and thank him for who he was. I didn't close my eyes during that time. Thank you. And but it was scary. Sometimes I get home and I go, how in the world did I get here? You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but you can drive miles and then not remember exactly where you've been. But anyway, I think just sometimes, you know, part of prayer is spiritual warfare in that the enemy is continually looking for ways to distract you and deceive you and putting away things that are distracting or that are using your time is sometimes one of the best things you can do.
Chuck, you need to get a self-driving car. You're prayer life will really take off.
There have been a lot of advancements since. Yes. Yeah, my prayer life's going to increase if I can get one of them.
I think something I found is I'm easily distracted. I easily forget things. And so when I am made aware of a prayer need, I try to breathe a prayer right then and there or soon after, and just kind of make that a habit instead of thinking, well, I'll get to that when I get home or something, because I've moved on to something else by then. So I just try to stay engaged at that point in prayer.
With all of this too, I agree with all of you guys on this. I spend a lot of times praying on my drive to work as well. And kind of going to answer the question, I think, if I remember it right, this one is, how do we connect with God in that way? Or like, how do we feel near to God? A lot of the times it's silence, yes. It's even when I'm working and doing things or reading, but really the times that I feel most connected with God is when I put my own agenda aside. When I stop praying for things that I want in a specific way and pray, Lord, your will be done, and giving those over to God. And that's when he works in me the most. And that's the planner in me. If you guys know me, I like to have all things planned out and I like to have contingencies for things. That's just how my brain works and what I like. But I don't know all the stuff, so I got to give that to God. And I think when I surrender that control to him and let God be God and not Bryce try to be God of his own life, that's when the Lord really works in me the most, and that's when I really connect with him the most, and I can see him, to your point, Dallas, connecting dots in that way. And that happens when I'm reading, it happens when I'm working. It's really like the mindset that I have and the heart posture that I have towards the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So we believe that God answers prayer. I'll tell a quick story about a time when God answered one of my prayers. A few years ago, I was pastoring a church in Wisconsin, and it came up. We had this plan for a missionary that we partnered with. We were partnering with, he was in Kenya. And his method of reaching people was to go in and put in a well, because it's a very dry region of Kenya that he was in. And he said, once there's a well there, people from all around will start coming there for water, and then that gives us opportunities to share Christ with them and do some other like medical things and things that they need. And it costs about $5,000 to build a well. And so I called on our church. I said, let's each buy one less Christmas gift, and we'll take the money that we would have spent on that Christmas gift, and we'll give a special offering, and then we'll see if we can build a well. And I prayed, and I said, okay, Lord, if we can raise $5,000 and build a well, that'll really be something. Well, when Christmas Eve came, the church gave $50,000, which was incredible. So we were able to build two wells and a church building, because it cost about $40,000 to build a church building. And I learned I should have asked for $50,000. Right? God wants to answer our prayers. And he, especially, you know, when our prayers are in line with his will, he is pouring out the blessings. And so don't ever be afraid to ask God for big things. Now, he's not always going to give you the big things you ask for, and we have to just trust him in that. But he's there. So have you guys ever experienced when God's answered a prayer in your life?
Yeah, I met a girl at Life Point Church about 2004. Thought she was pretty cute. Then I heard her sing, and she really caught my attention. So actually, we were in community group one night, and Heather Gillian asked me, like, hey, John, have you ever thought about dating anybody? I'm like, no. I'm having fun. But I did make it a matter of prayer, and I kept remembering this one girl. And so we eventually stumbled into dating, I would say. Broke up several times. So I guess the Lord was answering no in those situations. But eventually, that had always been a desire of my heart, to be a husband and a father. And so it had been a prayer I'd prayed for a long time, but when I specifically started asking about this one girl, I'm very thankful that the Lord moved in her heart and she quit breaking up with me.
I'll mention one collective one for, like, our church, if you will. I mean, Andy, you're an answer to prayer.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, so churches can go a long time trying to fill a staff position, you know, and man, I feel like the Lord really, so many of you are praying, really answered our prayer. It was a smooth process. We felt led by the Lord, and you're here. And so, that's been an answer to prayer. We're thankful for that. On a personal level, if some of you don't know, our family went through a difficult year last year. Our son Noah was diagnosed with cancer in one of the bones of his legs. Went through lots of chemo treatment, surgery to treat that, and obviously. It's a season of wrestling with the Lord. You look in Genesis, and you see Jacob wrestles with the Lord in Genesis, the book of Genesis. And but then he comes away with that with a limp. And the Lord impressed upon my heart going through all that, the months and weeks. Yes, we prayed for physical healing, prayed for all the things that everybody prays for in that circumstance, but the Lord also really, really impressed upon my heart. Probably the consistent cry of my heart was to protect Noah's heart and not let him get bitter or lose heart, get angry at God and lose heart and lose faith. 'Cause it's easier to go through life with a limp than it is to go through life with a heart that continues to reject God and continues to be bitter and angry at God. And so there are a lot of moments in that where the Lord absolutely answered prayer. We could take a lot more time and talk about that. But the overarching prayer of all those things was that the Lord would do that, and he did. And yes, there was, tears and frustration and moments where he's like, I don't think I can do this. But underneath it all, there continued to be just a calm and a peace and a faith in the Lord, a trust in the Lord. And we do, we pray for physical miracles. We like those miracles that we can touch and grab and feel. But what the Lord did in Noah's heart in that is a miracle. To walk through a fire like that, a trial like that, and to come out with your faith stronger, that was absolutely an answer to prayer. So without a doubt, and so that's like lots of other examples, but that's one that comes to mind that I wanted to
thank you. Last question. If you could give one piece of advice that would help all of us to grow in our prayer, what would it be?
I think something they shared with me when I was a new Christian and was just starting to have a quiet time, or even the idea of having a quiet time, was a little pamphlet called 7 Minutes with God. Helped me realize that, if I just spend a little bit of time with the Lord consistently, that eventually, he can stretch that time out and grow that with me as a Christian. But also, along with that, the acronym ACTS, which stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and then Supplication, which kind of gives some structure to prayer and kind of helps me think through that as I'm praying.
In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, Paul wrote, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So what does that pray without ceasing look like? It doesn't mean you have to shut yourself up in a room every single time you pray. Whether you're driving, walking, I work down at a dealership in Branson in the parts department. So a prayer need comes up, I'll walk a little bit slower to go get that part so I can spend some time with the Lord, take that to him. Or another one, if you look at your phone and see a name on the caller ID that you really don't want to see at this moment, take that to the Lord. That's when you can pray for your family, your friends, for the patience and the grace to take that phone call. Also, there's an old hymn, and there's a line in it that's helpful to remember. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. It doesn't matter how great or how small that prayer is or that request is, that need is. God will never tire of your voice. He'll never grow weary of your requests. You will never take any of his time because he created time. He's outside of it. So just regardless of what you may, how insignificant you may think your need is, take it to the Lord. He is faithful. He will hear you, and he will answer your prayer. Not always the way you want, but he will answer.
That's good. As I was preparing for this, I was thinking through how to answer this question, and there's two things that come to mind when I what I would kind of leave with the church is, one is prayer is a muscle that needs to be exercised, and it means that it takes work to exercise it. And so it starts small, like you're saying, right? 7 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever that is, and the Lord will grow that as you exercise that. And then the second piece is just the practical part. If anybody knows me, I'm an engineer, so I like my spreadsheets. And so I keep track of things because that's how my mind works. And I read a book a number of years ago, and I couldn't find it this week, but one of the teachings in it talked about concentric circles in your life, and how you have, at the center is like your family, like your spouse and your kids, and then as it goes out from there, you may have your parents and your extended family, and then your friends, and then the outer rings are acquaintances or the world that you don't know. And what it talked about was putting your prayer requests into those different groups or those circles, and then keeping lists of those to pray for them as they come to mind. And so you'd pray for your family, you know, every day kind of thing, and then as you get further out into the circle, you may pray for them less frequently, but it's a way of keeping track of them. And so I guess my encouragement to you is to try to keep track of those requests. It's easy to get requests from people and say, yes, I'll pray for you, and then you walk away and you get busy in life, and then you forget to pray for them. And so just keeping a list of them and keeping track of them is a good way to just be intentional with your prayer.
I think my thoughts would be to be an encouragement to you to not become discouraged in prayer. But again, as they've mentioned, to think of God as faithful. And when we pray in God's will, I don't think the answer is ever no. It may be wait on me. When Jesus prayed in the garden, if there's any way possible to take this cup from me, as he was facing the crucifixion, he prayed, but not my will, but your will be done. And so God is a God of many promises. He promises to take care of us and provide everything that we need. He has promised us the Holy Spirit to live within us, to be our counselor, our friend, our protector, our guide. He has promised, and he has gone before us to prepare a place in heaven for those who put their faith and trust in him. And as we look to God, he is faithful, and all his promises are yes and amen.
I would just go back to the Lord's Prayer. And if you don't use it as a template, if you don't spend a little time with it, I mean, each week, I would encourage you to do so. I mean, if quickly you'll memorize it, and it'll just come out. It'll be part of your prayer. But that's been really fruitful for me, just to use that as a guide for prayer.
So me and the fellas in my community group have been going through the book of James this summer, and one of my favorite parts of that is very short, actually, but it's been transformative in how I go about my prayer life. But it's be quick to hear and slow to speak. Too often, well, and slow to get angry. Too often I get impatient with God's timing. Too often I say more than I need to, and too often I spend too little time listening to what the Lord has to say to me. So the Lord has really impressed on my heart over the last couple of years to just sit with him. Let his word move me in my prayers. So listen for God's word, and just trust him and just echo what he is teaching me. So yeah, I would say speak less, listen more.
Thanks. Thanks to the elders for sharing their wisdom on prayer with us. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. I invite you to stand. Let's pray as we close out our service. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this beautiful relationship of prayer. Not so that we can get all the things done on our checklists, not so that we can give you some divine honeydew list, but so that we can spend time with you, so that we can know you, so we can grow in who you've called us to be. And we are excited about the times when we have those encounters with you in prayer. So Lord, as we are encouraged to pray from your word, from the teaching of the Lord's Prayer, from the testimony of the elders, as we are moved and encouraged to pray, would you form us into who you want us to be? Would you meet us in those moments of prayer? Would you speak to our hearts through scripture and through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit? And would you call us ever deeper into knowing you as our Father in heaven? We ask these in Jesus' name, amen.